Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. The Lord set a definite time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.' So the Lord did the thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln, and let Moses throw it towards the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt.' So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it towards the sky, and it became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home, when the hail comes down on them, will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will no there will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripened later. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart. He and his servants, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord has spoken through Moses. Okay, that was long. So we see the continued, I guess, battle between Moses and Pharaoh, and these are the 10 plagues that are happening. And right now they are going through plagues 4, 5, 6. Okay? And again, at the beginning of the first plague, it always starts, and that's why I got kind of mixed up, my bad, at the beginning. The Lord instructs Moses and keeps saying, go to the Pharaoh and speak to him. This is verse 9, and it says, no, verse 1. And tell him, let my people go so that they may serve me. And so this phrase kind of keeps repeating over and over again. It happens again later in this chapter, saying, let my people go. And so first of all, God is being merciful, you could say, because he's actually giving Pharaoh a warning. He didn't have to, right? But he extends his mercy to Pharaoh, gives him a chance to hopefully repent. And what does he say to him? He says, let my people go so that they may serve me. So two things. He's letting Pharaoh know, number one, these aren't your people. I know you've kept them in captivity for a really long time, for generations, but these people, they belong to me. They're my people, number one. And number two, that they may serve me. They have a purpose. They have a purpose that God created them for. It wasn't to serve Pharaoh. It wasn't to toil and suffer like they did. They were made, they had a purpose, and it was to serve God. Such a simple statement that was used to remind Pharaoh about the proper order of things. But same thing for us. Who do we belong to? Right? This statement could be the same for us, right? Which is, we belong to God and we have a function, which is to serve him. It says, and Paul says multiple times, right, in his letters, it says we were bought by Jesus, right? And if we're bought by Jesus, then we belong to him, right? So the ownership of our lives, and not only is it what Jesus did on the cross for us, but it was also we reciprocated, right, by believing, by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. And so our lives, and you know, Pastor Sam talked about how even our emotions that we have, they belong to God, right? I know we feel so entitled to our emotions, how we feel, but they belong to God. Not just our emotions, but every aspect of our lives. And a great reminder of that, especially, is what are we called to do? After we give ourselves to the Lord, we call him Lord. We're called to serve him. We're not called to serve ourselves. We're not supposed to expect God to serve us, right? I know, and even myself sometimes, you know, I praise God. I worship him so that, I mean, I would never explicitly say that, so that I get his favor and hopefully he does what I want in my life, right? And in some ways, you could, it's almost like you want God to serve you the best you can, and so you worship him. That's not the order. We're to serve him. We're to serve God. And we need to have a paradigm shift in the way we approach our relationship with the Lord. Right? And in experiencing God, the paradigm shift that we learn about is, you know, often we say, Lord Jesus, what is your will for my life? Right? What is your will? And we stress over that. An important question, but maybe a better approach is, God, what is your will and how can I join it? Right? Suddenly, the approach is not so much about me, what I can get, what I can receive. It's about God. And even a question I often ask myself is, you know, as we're talking about the kingdom of God, right? Because Jesus, in his gospels, he shares the good word, the good news, and talks about the kingdom of God and how we can be part of it and build it. And sometimes I have to really ask myself, whose kingdom are you building? Are you building God's kingdom, or are you building up your own kingdom? Are you building up God's kingdom, or are you building up your career? Right? Is it about you, or is it really about God? Yes. So again, God says, let my people go so that they may serve me. And you know, the first, or this would be the fourth plague that happens, is all the livestock died, it says. So basically anything with hooves, they all died. And one of those types of livestock would be, with hooves, would be cattle, right? And so this is significant because, you know, in the Egyptian culture, one of the deities, they worshipped everything, right? So the Nile River, they worshipped because it gave life. And so what did God do? He turned it to blood. Suddenly, it doesn't purify, it doesn't cleanse. And so now, even the cattle was something that they also worshipped because it represented like fertility and, you know, also, I think in Hinduism, they also worshipped cattle, but it was a significant deity. And apparently it was so much so that even if there were wars happening and there happened to be a herd of cattle that would be like crossing through where they were going to have a battle, they would actually pause the battle. And so they were, because they worshipped these cattle. And suddenly the very thing they worshipped, these cattle, all died, right? So all the cattle died, except for the livestock that belonged to the Israelites. And what was the result? Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Whatever he was feeling, he just held on to it and let it fortify. That was hardening his heart, right? You fortify whatever emotion and feeling you're experiencing. Then the next one comes. Okay, and this is where the boils, and Moses instructed to take the soot from a kiln. So that's that black dust, right? That happened. That, you know, a kiln is, well, I think of a kiln, it's where you usually bake pottery. So it's like all the like most fine dust that's left over, and he throws it in the air. It spreads and it goes on to the people. And so they're covered in boils. So everyone's affected, it says, including the priests. So the priests, who would usually be the ones responsible for healing, are the ones who are also afflicted by these boils, and there's nothing they can do about it, right? So God is really going into battle with the entire Egyptian culture and the deities and the whole system, right? So even these priests show that the Lord is far more powerful. And for the first time in verse 12, it says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Before, it was Pharaoh who hardened his own heart. For the first time, it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I know this can be controversial. Like, oh, so he had no free will. No. You can see up to now a continuous hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And it was at that part, at this point, where God was just using what was already there, and I use the word fortifying, and he just reinforced what was there, right? To kind of bring glory eventually. And so God fortifies. And then the next one is the plague of hail. And this was something that was never seen before, right? Because usually in Egypt, prior to this, we see Joseph, right? And, I mean, that's how the Israelites came to Egypt, through Joseph, right? And with Joseph, they had experienced famine and a drought, which is what they're experiencing is no rain. And suddenly, there's a warning that they're going to experience heavy hail such as never been seen in Egypt. And so they have no idea. They're like, what? Like, we don't even get rain, and you're telling us we're going to get, like, ice? I don't know if Hong Kong, they have hail. Do they have hail in Hong Kong? Sometimes. Mix of responses. Some like nope, some are yes. But I've experienced hail in Canada. I remember especially experiencing Australia. It was like marbles this big, and it's coming down. It's like being hit by, I guess, a paintball gun. It hurts, right? It's like really unpleasant. And as soon as it happens, everyone's like running away trying to look for cover, right? And so, first of all, this has never happened again before. And so no one believes it, because the warning is, and God is, again, so merciful and gracious. He warns everyone and says, find cover. Because if you don't find cover, you and your, I guess, animals are going to die. And so some people didn't believe it. And as a result, anyone who was out ended up dying from the hail. And this was the crazy hail. This hail was hail, thunder, and fire. So I've never experienced this type of hail in my life before. Usually it's just hail, right? And not even with thunder. So this is crazy. It's never happened before. The other plagues, the Egyptians could, you know, you can kind of, I mean, it's still crazy, but it's something that they can expect to a certain degree, right? Like, as in, like, they've experienced all these things, maybe not on command to this level, but it's been experienced. This has never been experienced before. And so the fear that people are experiencing is out of this world. And so this is the most frightening plague so far. And yet, again, Goshen, which is where the Israelites resided, was protected, untouched. This time, Pharaoh says to Moses and Aaron, I have sinned this time. He doesn't try to just compromise a little. He just full on says, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and my people are the wicked ones. So finally, he repents. But Moses says to him in verse 30, he says, as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. So even though Pharaoh says to him, you're right, God is righteous, I was wrong, seemingly he repents. He says, I know. Why would Moses say that? Why would Moses say, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord? Because Moses knows it's not done. He knows. Because in the beginning, when God gives Moses the initial instructions and plan to confront Pharaoh, and I'll read, this is Exodus 4, 22-23. He says, then you shall say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go so that they may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I am going to kill your son, your firstborn. So that hasn't happened yet, right? And so now Moses is putting things together. He's anticipating what's to come, and this has not come yet. So therefore, he's concluded that it's not done. Pharaoh hasn't really repented. And it says, again, after the rain and hail and the thunder had stopped, it says, he sinned again and hardened his heart. See? He hardened his heart. And I feel like we have a lot we can learn from Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. Right? Basically, he decided not to come into agreement with what was on God's heart, and he chose to embrace what the devil had for him, the enemy, or what was just on his fleshly heart. He was very emotional. You could say he was very emotionally driven, right? Because one moment he'd be like, I'm sorry. Next moment, hardened heart. Back and forth, flipping back and forth. And so he was someone who was led by his emotions, depending how he felt. When he felt fear and he felt the consequences and repercussions, then he would be, oh, I'm so sorry. Right? But once things were back to normal, right, then he went back to his own ways. It's just like my son. He's 4 years old, right? When there's consequences, I'm sorry. But as soon as things are back to normal, he goes back to doing just whatever he feels like, right? And so we cannot be like Pharaoh. Two things is we cannot be driven by our emotions, by simply how we feel. Because if that's what is guiding you, you're going to flip back and forth. We have to let the Lord submit our emotions even to the Lord, right? Let him dictate how we respond to those emotions, number one. And number two, we have to be very careful that we don't harden our heart. Whatever, if there's anger, if there's lust, if there's greed, if there's offense on your heart, if you hold on to it, it's going to get reinforced. It's going to get reinforced. It's going to fortify. And then the enemy is going to reinforce it. And hopefully, the Lord doesn't reinforce it. Right? That's not what we want. We have to be very careful to not hold on to those emotions or whatever, things in our lives. And in my experience, as you give yourself into those things take a greater hold of you. And I remember even something like with anger, right? I don't naturally get angry. I think it's just my personality. I don't lose it. And part of it was my personality. Another part of it was I just was not vulnerable. So I wouldn't want to like show that emotion. And so there was a season of a life. I was like, I want to be real. I want to be, you know, I don't want to be scared to not, I didn't want to be scared to not be angry. I didn't want to be scared to be angry. And then people are like, oh, what's wrong with, like, be judged in that way. And I was really embracing it. So I started letting myself get angry. But what I noticed is when I gave into that, the next time like something came, it was easier to get angry. And then sometimes it even felt good to be angry. And I was like, wow, like it's kind of crazy. Like suddenly this emotion that didn't come so easily, suddenly was coming very easily. And so I had to take a step back. It's like this balance, right? Being able to embrace what I was feeling, use being able to articulate it with my words if I was feeling angry to people, but not responding in anger, right? And so I think that's probably the healthy thing, right? Being real, but not, and being able to share what you feel, but not embrace those feelings, right? And so in order to do that, I mean, we have to be like Moses, be humble, right? But I know being humble is such a, like, what does that even mean? Being humble. I don't have a great definition, but I just think of Jesus, right? Jesus, who was God, came to earth as a man, humbled himself, came. He didn't come to be served, but he served. And notice, you know, in all the teachings, there's a great emphasis on humility. It's so important, right, that we be humble. But the key is we need to humble ourselves. It doesn't say humility is so important, so go out in the world and humble other people and expect people to be humble. You can't do that, right? It says humble yourself, otherwise God will humble you. So the onus is for you to humble yourself, not to force that or expect that on people, right? It's to humble yourself, otherwise God will humble you. Okay? I invite, is it Sybil? Sybil is going to lead us. And yeah, just with what I shared at the beginning, you know, our lives belong to the Lord. We're called to serve Him and not to be served. And so let's humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves that we would lower ourselves, right, in the way we do relationships with people, that we do not think we are higher or better than other people, right? Because we're not. We're not better than each other. We're all brothers and sisters who entered into His kingdom the same way, through forgiveness, through what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so we need to humble ourselves. Remember how we were able to enter this family, not through our own merit or through our own effort, but it was through what Jesus did on the cross for us. Let's go before the Lord in humility. If there's anything you need to repent of, share that with the Lord.
My Savior, Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compared to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, ever cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountain bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Yes, Lord, we just give thanks to you for who you are, Lord, and because of who you are, we can humble ourselves. We can submit. We can care about others even more than ourselves, Lord. We can serve one another because we know that you're taking care of our own hands and make things happen. We can let you do that, Lord. Our job is to serve and not just control. And so we hand over that control to you, Lord. We offer you that control. And Lord, would you search our hearts? Search our hearts that if we are holding on to anything that is not pleasing to you, that's not from you, Lord, that we would release it to you and surrender it to you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name. If you turn to the screens, let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer and also going through chemo radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing, for God's strength, for God's encouragement on their lives. Let's cover our community whose loved ones are ill, but also in need of word of salvation. Let's pray for God to speak to them and be able to pierce hearts and use people around them to share the gospel with these people. Cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Yes, let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's provision, for God's open door and direction. Turn to our Tuesday prayers. Let's cover Hong Kong government wealth gap, sports services, churches, revival, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's cover Hong Kong. Yep, if you could pray for the staff, pray for unity, for purpose, just our members of the staff. You can also pray for PSAM and Lisa, they're both sick right now. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming led by P. Andrew, barista led by Caleb, and logistics led by Tim. pray for worship, sound, and AV team. Pray for God to continue to use these ministries to continue to grow and learn. Let's also cover the pregnancies. Let's lift up Kathleen. You can pray for Yiling. I think she's at the hospital right now. And also pray for Jade and others. Let's also pray for all the house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, K House, OPR, Princeton. Pray that for the leaders that they would be on the same page, equally yoked, so in tune with what the Spirit is doing. Pray for the members that they be able to really come together, connect with each other, and also be able to connect and experience God. Yes, Lord, we just give thanks for your word today. You're the same God to the Israelites as you are to us, Lord. And yes, our lives belong to you. And we know that you have an amazing plan for each and every one of us, and that you desire for us to join in whatever you're doing, Lord. And I just pray that we would also be able to humble ourselves in the way we see ourselves, in the way we see others, Lord, and see you, that we would just humble ourselves and also just be free from the pressures of this world, be free from expectations of man, but really just embrace your desires over our lives. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.